Well, about half an hour ago, it started. Kylie, Joel, Ricky, Will.i.am, listening to a series of singers, and all they have are their voices to listen to. No prejudice of appearance, purely the voice. It becomes more than a show about the voice as the competition moves on, but initially, it's purely a vocal competition. And the question for each of the judges is, will this voice compel me to push this buzzer and turn around and have my chair spin around? And I think tonight's passage is all about the voice. Will you be compelled to listen to it? We live in a world of clattering voices, of soundbite TV, of social media, of communication that only allows you 140 characters, or just pictures, or pictures that last for 3 seconds and then disappear, unless you've screenshot it quickly so you keep it. There's advertising that's going on, and it's fast and it's snappy and it's concise, and the voices come at us thick and fast. But I want you to imagine that you're on one of those funny big red chairs that the judges sit in, right? I want you to spin around and turn your back on all those voices. And I want you to listen. What are you hearing? What are they saying? What are they promoting? Which of those voices do you want to press the buzzer for? Which voice do you want to hear more closely? Which voice do you need to listen to over and over again and dig deeper and explore further? Now, Channel 9, over the coming weeks or months, the higher the ratings, I suspect, the longer they drag it out, they're going to unearth someone with a wonderful voice, with great vocal ability that will in time fade into obscurity. But tonight we hear words of one who doesn't fade into obscurity, who has not and will not fade into obscurity. We hear the voice of God. And the voice of God comes out of a cloud and says, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." There's a headline. There's the lead story for the news. Right? 4:30 and at 5 o'clock and at 6 o'clock and then again at 7 o'clock on the other station. That's only on one network. There's a tweet. A story that should be trending now. Voice of God speaks from the clouds. "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And it comes, if you're reading through Luke's Gospel, it comes at a really important moment. A really important time for an endorsement of who Jesus is. Verse 28 starts by referring to events from 8 days prior. 8 days earlier, the disciples had confessed, "Jesus, you are the Messiah." They said in verse 20 of chapter 9, "You are the Christ of God." Now the question of who is Jesus, it was the most popular story of the day. Even the king had heard about it, and King Herod was asking, "Who is this about whom I hear such things?" That's back in verse 9 of chapter 9. Now Jesus went on and he confirmed what the disciples understood, that he said, "Yes, I am the Christ." But then Jesus kept speaking and he confused them and stunned them and worried them. He announced to them that, "Yes, I, the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed King of God, I will suffer and die, and on the third day be raised to life." And then he added the kicker that, "For you who come and follow me, it comes with a cost, a significant cost to those who will follow me. If you would come after me, if you would come and follow me, God's King, well, it's a road marked with suffering." Right? Who would tweet, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me"? Well, who would say, "Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it"? Sounds to me like a king going off to war or a leader going into battle. We've been called to follow. And Jesus goes on, chapter 9, verse 25, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses or forfeits himself? And he says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man, talking about himself, of him I will be ashamed when I come in glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. That's what he's just spoken to them a week ago. And so here are Peter and John and James up on a mountain there to pray with Jesus. And there is this word of testimony, this word of assurance. And it was a needed one. You know, has Jesus lost the plot? Was he right in what he said? Well, reassurance comes from God himself who speaks from the clouds. Yes, Jesus is the messianic king. He's the anointed king, the one I said I would send. Yes, he is the end time ruler of the world. Yes, what you said, what you heard him say was correct. You need to listen to him. You've worked out who he is. He is the Christ of God. But you need to keep listening because he's got much more to teach you. For now, I don't want to spend my time on what Jesus has got to teach us. I want to spend time on what God has to say about Jesus. So we need to hear more of God's endorsement of Jesus. Now, the Transfiguration was an amazing event, a glimpse of the glory that will be revealed when Jesus returns and the resurrection glory. And Peter, he gets pretty excited. Verse 33, he wants to put up some tents, not just ordinary tents to have a sleepover in. Israel used to have all these festivals that they would hold. There was one called the Feast of the Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And that's what Peter wants to go into and have one of those. It was the one where they would celebrate and rejoice in God's provision. So he wants to have a little mini festival of the tabernacles, Feast of the Tabernacles right there to celebrate what God's shown them. But it says he didn't really understand or fully understand what was going on. So up on the mountain, there's the three figures, Jesus, Moses, Elijah. And it's all pointing to Jesus, the one who is glorified, the one who was transformed, the one who his sort of appearance glows on the mountain. The presence of Moses says, look back. Look back to salvation. Look back to how God has saved and delivered his people. And the presence of Elijah says, look forward. Look forward to the end day. The day when everything comes to an end. And both of them point to the fulfillment that comes in Christ. And say, look to him. Look to him as the one who will rescue us, like Moses, and the one who will take us through to eternity. So we, in the end, we need to listen to what Jesus says, but for now, let's listen to what God says about him. Let's listen to why we should listen to Jesus. First of all, God says, Jesus is my son. If you want to look, I'm going to take us through some passages in these next three points. Few points. Psalm 2, but God says, Jesus is my son. Earlier in Luke's gospel, when Jesus went and was baptized, from the cloud, God spoke. And at that time, God said, this is my beloved son. Both of those references pick up Psalm 2. And Psalm 2 is a psalm about God's anointed king. He's the Messiah or the Christ. And if you look at verse 7, God says of his Christ, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And so that day there on the mountain for Peter and John and James, they get a glimpse of the glory that is to come. So the glory that Psalm 2 anticipates is this. It says, God says, ask of me, my Christ, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. That's God's word to the Messiah. the nations, all peoples, will be his inheritance. And it goes on in verse 10 to call kings, be wise, and to warn the rulers of the earth to serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling, to kiss the Son lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath, the wrath of the Christ, is quickly kindled. But blessed are all who take refuge in him. Here is confirmation of the challenge to follow Jesus that you hear in Luke 9, 18 to 27. Responding to Jesus, following Jesus, is not a flippant matter. It's no flight of fancy. It's no trend that you jump on and you jump off. Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. The Son is the ruler. The nations, this world is his inheritance. And those who refuse to listen to him, they shall, in the words of Psalm 2, he will break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. It's brutal, isn't it? This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. But Psalm 2 fills out the my Son reference. And God adds, this is my Son, my chosen one. And that title there, that description by God of Jesus, picks up the words of Isaiah 42 and 43. Again, if you want to look at and follow through the references I'm going to take you to, page 602, Isaiah 42 and 43. Isaiah 42, verse 1, says, behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Psalm 2 spoke of the Son bringing justice. And here, as Isaiah 42 talks about, I put my spirit upon him, it's what took place at Jesus' baptism. Luke 3:22, and the Holy Spirit descended on him. Here in Jesus is the chosen one. My Son, the chosen one of Isaiah 42 and 43. And as Isaiah 42 continues, you hear more of Jesus and his suffering that will play out in the rest of the gospel. Verse 2 says, he will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. And it's at the cross, when Jesus dies, that is the place where this justice will be delivered. And Isaiah 42:4 says, he won't grow faint or be discouraged until he has established justice in the earth. Jesus will complete his work. He'll fulfill his mission. It's what Luke chapter 9 verse 31 speaks of Jesus accomplishing in Jerusalem. It's the deliverance of his people. It's justice in the earth. And God's chosen one is given the assurance in Isaiah 42:6 that I am the Lord. I've called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. And verse 8, I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other. God's chosen one shares the glory of the Lord. The Lord who says of Jesus, he is my chosen one, listen to him. And Isaiah doesn't stop there. Isaiah moves to the people and he calls them to sing a new song to the Lord, to sing his praises to the ends of the earth. And it comes with these assurances, verse 16 of Isaiah 42. I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn darkness before them into light the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. The words of Jesus to take up your cross, to lose your life for him and the gospel, the Son of God, the chosen one of God says, listen to me, join with me, I will deliver you through even the roughest and darkest of paths. And so Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers. They shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame, it will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. These are the words to the people of Israel. It's shortly before their whole city is attacked and ransacked and they're taken off into exile. And this is the encouragement to them. The words of promise that my chosen one will deliver you. And ultimately it's pointing to the deliverance that Jesus brings. And so 43 verse 5, he says, fear not, for I am with you. And I'll bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. And I'll say to the north, give up. And to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. He's going to gather all his people together. And the work of taking up our cross, right, that instruction that Jesus will give to his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, that he'll speak of in the next chapters of Luke, to say that the harvest is ripe for the picking, but the workers are few. This is the path, this is the task, this is the battle that we're called to be part of as disciples, the life of suffering for his kingdom and glory that we by faith are a part of. Isaiah 43:10 says, you're my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Saviour. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses. And I am God. And as Christ will do on the cross, he will blot out our transgressions. Our sins will be remembered no more, and we will bear his name, the name of the chosen one, Christian. And Isaiah 44 verse 8 says, fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it, and you are my witnesses? Is there a God beside me? There is no rock. I know not any. God says, Jesus is my chosen one. He is the deliverer, the Savior. He says to his people, fear not. Jesus is my covenant pledge, my eternal commitment to you. For whoever would lose his life for my sake will save it. But what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses or forfeits his soul? God says, listen to Jesus. My son, my chosen one, listen to him. God had promised back in Deuteronomy 18. So the Psalms were about 1100 years before Jesus, Psalm 2. Isaiah was about 700 years before Jesus. Deuteronomy takes us back 1400 years before Jesus. Page 161 if you want to look it up. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, God's speaking to the people before they enter into the promised land, and he says, I'll raise up for you a prophet like Moses from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God, I will raise up a prophet like Moses from among your brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I commanded him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. If you don't listen to the prophet, the one God sends to speak in his name, God will require you to listen. That is the judgment to come. You may have heard it said of Jesus that every knee will bow before him and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue will confess. Right? Everyone will recognize that Jesus is the anointed King, the Messiah. Now, for some, it'll be too late and they'll be forced to do it. Others will have willingly and in faith put their trust in him. God promised a prophet. He declared him to be Jesus, the one you must listen to, just as Israel listened to Moses, the one who will lead the way to God, who will speak the very words of God, one who will lead into salvation, who will redeem you, that you might belong to the kingdom of God. Now, am I clutching at straws to make that connection? Well, I don't think so, because it's the same connection that Luke makes. If you can turn over to the book of Acts, page 911, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 17. Luke wrote the book of Acts as well as this gospel that we're looking at. And he says, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. So what should you do? Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Exactly what Isaiah 42:43 was talking about. "And that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. The forgiveness and the blotting out of sins that the chosen one, the servant, will bring. Jesus is in heaven until he returns and brings about the end time, the looking forward that Elijah represents." And Luke then ties it to Deuteronomy in verse 22. Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who've spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Guys, Luke 9:28-36 presents the transfiguration as a major event of God confirming who Jesus is. Jesus had received the confession of the disciples. He confirmed it. He spoke of his approaching suffering and that they too would suffer. And three of them hear this heavenly voice that testify to the uniqueness of who Jesus is. They need to be reassured of who Jesus is, and their need that they need to keep listening. That they've worked out some stuff, but they've got more to come to understand. And there'll be a whole lot of stuff that they hear that they don't expect. A whole lot of challenge about life and the way they live it, and life and their priorities. So they need to listen. And the one who follows Jesus must be taught about him, taught about Jesus' suffering, about the suffering that we share as believers, and about how we live a life pleasing to God. For what Jesus says about himself and the way to God is true. The disciples' confession about Jesus is true, but it needs filling in. The suffering he promises will occur, God planned it. And so we need to keep, as we follow Jesus and live for him, we need to keep looking back and seeing how he has saved us at the cross. and blotted out our transgressions and sins and paid for them once for all. And we need to keep looking forward to the hope and that is to come, the glory that's to come on the last days. Because as we live and pass through those rough and dark times, it's that hope in light of what has been done that keeps us going, that strengthens us, that helps us to take up that cross daily and keep following Him. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, the one who has saved you in the past and who is leading you to the future, hear the words again, that every soul who does not listen to Him shall be destroyed. It is a serious thing. If you want to find out more about who Jesus is, we're running a Christianity Explained courses Monday night, Wednesday night, Sunday afternoons. You would have got a little cardboard card on the way in. Just write on the back of that you want to do Christianity Explained, and we'll get in contact with you and work out what time works best. It just gives you a chance to sit down and go through and think through, who is Jesus? Are His claims for real? Do I need to listen to Him in all of life? If you do know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you've been blessed already by God in the most magnificent way possible. Will the road ahead be simple? No, it will be a battle. Because that's what you've come and joined to be part of. See, the life we live is not ours. The life we live is for Him, the Messiah, our King. And our life is to be lived as a witness, bearing His words, that others might come to know the blessing of knowing God's anointed King. In the next few weeks, we're going to spend more time in Luke's Gospel and hear more of Jesus' words and think through, what does it mean to follow Him? What does it look like to follow Him? What are the challenges involved? I want you to come back now to the voice. All right, sit yourself in one of those big red chairs with the button in front. All right, you're sitting there on the chair, your hands on the buzzer, and one after another, the next voice comes out and speaks and auditions before you and calls for your attention. Tonight you've heard the voice of God, the voice that says, Jesus brings words from me, listen to them. He brings the words of life and salvation, of redemption, a new life, of the words of eternity and God's kingdom. He says, listen to Him, my son, my chosen one. Press the buzzer. Have your chair turn around. Not say you can go and coach God, like what's going to happen in the show, right? But commit to being coached by Him in all of life. Of committing to follow Jesus into the battle. Of witnessing to His salvation in all of life. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to Him. Amen.